I guess not this last Friday, but the Friday before that, my mom called and said that, you know, my brother needed to have heart surgery, a double bypass surgery. And, you know, I immediately texted Ashley to have prayers sent out, and honestly didn't have any fear whatsoever for my brother at any point in time during this entire time that we were praying for him. You know, we had to wait for his blood to thicken. That happened fairly quickly considering we prayed for that. We wanted his surgery to go quickly and as soon as possible, and we prayed for that, and that came about. And finally today, you know, I talked to my mom, who said that, you know, he's healing very fast, up and moving around, and I just praise God for all of these things. But one of the things is I've talked to so many people, and I felt such a peace this entire time. And that peace, you know, of course, comes from the Lord. I never had a doubt in my mind that he was going to come through just fine. So, you know, our Lord works in wonderful ways, and the peace can only come from him. So let's give him all the glory, huh?
Okay, folks, I could ask you all to stand. I'm going to read the word this morning. I ask you all just to follow along. Trying to do a little change here, see how it works.
I need to dismiss the children's church, children from the children's church. We can head on out at this point, and let's bless our kids as they go.
Okay. I'll be reading Romans 2, 1 through 11. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence, is doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. May the Lord bless these words, your holy name. Amen.
I'm down to 200.
But here comes the word.
Here comes the word. So tune me out. Tune me out and listen to the word. We're looking at Romans chapter 2, the first 8 verses in our series in Romans. I'm coming back to this portion of Scripture. We did a very large portion last week, and with the focus on the message of how God's wrath and judgment is being revealed and will also continue to be revealed, and that there also will be a day of wrath, the day of judgment coming. I want to talk this morning about unrighteous judgment. If By way of introduction, let me tell you about a fellow that years ago when I worked in construction, his name was Bill, and Bill was an electrician. And so I would see Bill quite often. He would come on the job site, and you know, we contracted with him to do the electrical work for the houses. And Bill was a believer in Christ. But Bill had a shortcoming. Whenever Bill would come onto the job site, it was almost like clockwork. He would get into this discussion, and he would say, you know, I just don't understand how someone can call themselves a Christian and smoke cigarettes. He'd say, you know, I just think if somebody smokes cigarettes, they're just not really a Christian. And I'd say, well, really, Bill? I'd say, well, maybe somebody smokes cigarettes, but you're judgmental. Who's worse? Well, someone else might say, well, oh, did you see the way that girl dressed? I don't think she's a Christian. Well, you're judgmental. Someone else might say, well, that young man's hair is way too long, and he listens to that rock music. He must not be a Christian. Well, you're judgmental. Listen to the way that man's cursing. He's obviously not a Christian. Well, you're judgmental. We've probably all heard comments like this. We've all probably made comments like this. The problem is, when we are making comments like this, we're making a judgment. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Thank you, JoJo. We've all had comments like this. We've heard them. We've all perhaps said comments like this. The problem is, our issues, our sins, may be just as bad, if not worse, than the person that we are pointing things out on. You know, our sins might be one of gossip. Why are we bringing this up? You all didn't hear me. Why are we bringing this up? Oh, you know, we want to pray for that person. Really? Is that why you brought it up, or did you just bring it up to point it out? Gossip, criticism, a critical spirit, judgmental towards other people. Paul addresses this issue here right in the middle of speaking about God's wrath and God's judgment. Now, he had just addressed in chapter 1 and going on into chapter 2, he had just addressed the issue that, yes, Gentiles and unbelievers as well have no excuse before God because God has made his invisible attributes visible. He has made his invisible attributes visible in the creation. In other words, that which can be known about God has been made visible in creation. And Paul points out that his divine nature and his eternal power can be seen. These things can be seen in the creation so that no one has an excuse before God. No one can say, well, I just don't believe in God. There's no evidence for him. I'm an atheist. Oh, no. God has given a witness all throughout creation. And we looked at that last week. And his wrath is being revealed to those who reject and suppress the knowledge of God through wickedness. And if we persist in wickedness, someone who persists in wickedness, God's wrath is poured out in that he gives them over to their sin. In other words, he gives them to the control of the sin that they're embracing. We think that we are in control. Oh, I got this. I'm good. Problem is, you don't have control. It has you. Whatever that sin might be that we would be embracing, you think that you're in control, but the issue becomes it controls you. Now, that issue is really for the believer and the unbeliever. The difference is that God's wrath is not poured out on you. If you are a believer, you've escaped God's wrath, but his discipline comes to play. You might be embracing that sin, and it can be controlling you, but God's wrath doesn't come upon you, but his discipline and chastisement does. Oh, Pastor, you just preached such a hard word here. Why don't you just preach about God's love? That's so warm and fuzzy and feels good. Well, the Word says to preach the whole counsel. All of it. You know what? I think there's lots of sermons out there being preached about God's love. Preach about how well you can do with God, how He can solve all your problems, how He can fix everything in your life. He can make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. The problem is, that's not a true message. God is not so interested in your physical well-being, your material well-being. He's more interested in your spiritual well-being. And He wants you and me to rightly represent Him in this world. He's very concerned about that. In fact, I would begin to think that that is probably the first priority for God in this world, is the way that you and I represent Him to other people, and especially, watch this, especially to unbelievers. A little bit later on in Romans, He's going to say this. He says, because of you Jews, right, the Jews were God's people that He had chosen to represent Him in the world. He says, because of you, My name is blasphemed among the Gentiles. They're supposed to be God's people. We're supposed to be God's people. And people look at us and they say, man, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, you're gossiping, you're criticizing, you're judging. And look at the sin you got in your life. What right do you have? And you're like, ooh, yeah, you're right. Well, it's not so much that they're right. God's Word is right. Amen? God's Word is right. He says, verse 1, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. Can you say, oh me? Now, he is generalizing there. I believe there might be one or two of us in here that have gotten to a maturity point where we're not doing that much. Most of us are doing it a lot. And so Paul is dealing with this. And he says this, and this is the main point. He says, we must not make unrighteous judgments when we are failing in the same ways and then judging others for it. Rather, let us live and judge rightly like God. Let us deal with people, not just our brothers and sisters. You hear me? Not just our brothers and sisters. Let us deal with people like God, with kindness, tolerance, and patience. Now, let me be quick to say, I'm not talking about tolerating sin. Please don't go and say, oh, Pastor, he's getting soft on sin. He said tolerate. No, I did not. You have to tolerate people, not sin. See, I can reach out to anyone in love and compassion and tenderness and patience, knowing my own place, that I too fail and fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that I say sin is okay. See, that's the problem that's happened. It's actually kind of creeping into the church all across this nation. Well, I thought we were supposed to love people. We are. I thought we were supposed to accept people where they're at. We are. I thought we were not supposed to judge. We're not. But that does not give us the right to change God's Word. When God's Word says certain things are sin, that's the end of the story. Well, you know, I think maybe the Bible might not be quite correct on that one. I think God didn't quite get that one right. We know better than God. Oh, here's a great one. Well, it doesn't really mean that. Have you heard that excuse? Yeah, it doesn't really mean that. What it really means is, now, let me break this down a little bit here. When we are talking here about not making unrighteous judgments, we have to define our terms, right? So number one, what does it mean to judge? In this context, what does it mean to judge? The word's krino, and it means this, to distinguish, to distinguish between right and wrong. And in this context, it is with the implication to condemn. You are judging a person. You are distinguishing. You are defining what is right and wrong in their life with the implication to condemn them. Because of what they're doing, right and wrong, and mostly wrong, you're condemning them. What does condemn mean? Verse 1, when he says, you condemning yourself, the implication is that you're condemning others. Well, it means to sentence, to judge worthy of punishment. Well, here's the issue. Here's the problem. Number one, we often judge others in the same, very same areas that we are failing in. And the Word says, listen, the Word says, not Pastor Tom, the Word says, when we do this, we are condemning ourselves. Now, if you have a tendency towards being judgmental, when you have a tendency to be towards being critical, you need to hear this. When you are like that, you are making unrighteous judgment. Because you and I do not have the right to make such judgment. We often judge others this way. And God says, you need to stop it. You are not acting like me, because I judge rightly, verse 2, right? That's what it says. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So God is the only one who can do these things. He's the only one who can judge. Let's look at the words of Jesus, who also speaks to this. Paul is really repeating what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And Dave Kofeldt is going to read that scripture for us.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
So Jesus is warning against judging someone else for their sin when we have a failure, a sin that's even worse. He says, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye, your sister's eye. You see the contrast there? I mean, it's when you really think about it for just a second, and you know, this is an indication, you know, Jesus had a great sense of humor. Think about it. He says, you have a plank in your eye. Can you imagine? You're walking around with a big plank sticking out of your head. Boom. Ugh. I mean, it's a funny picture when you think about it. It's kind of sad also at the same time. What is Jesus saying? It's so glaring, everybody can see it. But we're refusing to see it. It's not that we can't see it. We know it's there, don't we? I mean, let's just be honest. We are very much aware of the sins and the failures in our life, aren't we? But a lot of times, we're just not willing to admit it, or we excuse it. We justify it. Oh, well, you know, I'm not as bad as the next person. And Jesus is warning against judging someone else for their sin when we're sinning, when our failure is even worse. Now, if a believer, watch this, if a believer sees another believer sinning, it's our Christian duty to humbly, lovingly, respectfully confront the person. According to Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, you go with what? The intent is reconciliation. The intent is restoration, not judgment. This is not judging the person. This is pointing out a sin with the hope and the goal of bringing repentance. And so how do you approach somebody? First of all, it says you go to them. You go to them. Not to your neighbor. Not to Facebook. Or whatever social media that you like to use. And by the way, folks, let me pause here for just a minute. Can I give you a word of counsel and a word of advice? Don't get into arguments and discussions, heated discussions, on Facebook. They don't accomplish anything. And end up usually people saying and writing things that they ought not to write. And a lot of times, you know, a person is come onto Facebook and is looking to get into that, and you've just fallen right into their hand. And they want to get into an argument. They want to get into, you know, a back and forth kind of thing. Don't fall into that. It's just, it's not worth it. And the problem is, everybody sees it. And we look foolish. Now, I'm not talking about having a good discussion, but I would encourage you to do that one-on-one. You know, if you're going to do it, you know, back and forth, do it one-on-one. Therefore, you know, it's protecting, you know, Christ's name, and it's protecting the body. And so the person that is sinning, you go to them. But what's the purpose of going to them? Not to judge them, but to say, you know, brother, sister, man, what's going on? You know, I can see that you're having a tough time here. See, it's all about the attitude. It's all about the approach, isn't it? It's all about the heart. Why am I going to this brother? And, you know, sometimes you need to take a brother or sister along. It says if they won't listen, then the next step, Matthew 18, bring somebody else along. And here's the other side of it. Listen, here's the other side of it. If a brother or sister comes to you and begins to ask you some questions, don't get your back up. Well, you know, we got the right to talk about me and ask me about my business. What right you got to get in my business? Well, guess what? When you signed up as a believer, you gave the right, number one, for God to get into your business and for each other to get into each other's business. Scripture says we belong to one another. We are accountable for one another. In the Old Testament, it said this, if you see a soul sinning and you don't warn them, you're guilty of their blood. Now, thankfully, you know, we're hopefully not doing anything that's going to create danger in our lives, where we're actually, you know, in danger of dying because of our sin. But there can be spiritual death, can't there? And so Jesus says, don't do that. Here's why. Since we can't see into a person's heart, we don't know his or her relationship with God, we're not to usurp God's place, making judgments about someone's motives or their salvation. Ouch. Well, you know, this person did that, and I just think they did it for this. We get that little swagger going on. I'm just going to tell them what they need to know. You ain't going to tell them nothing. First of all, if you go with that kind of attitude, you're going to immediately have a wall between you. They're not going to hear a word you have to say because they're sensing judgment and condemnation. You don't know about their motive. You can't look into their heart. And therefore, we should be humble, knowing our own weakness, knowing our own sin. And the word, listen, the word is clear. It says, verses 5 and 6, that when we do this, not just those that are embracing and practicing sin, but when we do this, when we are judging unrighteously and we are condemning people, usurping God's place, it says we are storing up wrath for ourselves. What's Jesus mean? Take the plank out of your own eye, then you can see clearly. We are to judge ourselves, as I said earlier. Number two, the reason that God can judge rightly is that His judgment's based on truth. Only God. Only God can judge rightly. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. This is the New Living Version. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He can look at your heart and my heart. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, and I will reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. God does that. God does that. Here's a famous one. And I've had people do this to me. You know, Tom, the Lord sent me to tell you that you have a sin in your life and that you need to deal with it. You need to really get that right in your life. Really? That's funny, because I thought the Holy Spirit did that. And I thought the Holy Spirit was well able to point something out in my life. You see, there's been an abuse of prophets or prophecy, if you want to call it that. That's an abuse. That's spiritual abuse. That's spiritual manipulation is what that is. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe the Lord can do anything. And He can read your mail. And sometimes He will read your mail. I'm not talking about your physical mail. I'm talking about what's going on in your life. There was a story of a particular person. They were a Christian, and they were on an airplane. And they were, you know, taking a trip, and there was a person, a man next to him. This was a man, and there was another man next to him, and this man was, he was getting up a lot. He was just going up, back and forth, and just kind of acting uneasy. And this Christian man kept kind of watching him, and all of a sudden the man turned around, and he saw, and this is through the Spirit, not physically written there, but he saw the word adultery written across the man's forehead. And he's like, whoa, what am I supposed to do with this, Lord? You know? And then all of a sudden, a name came into his mind. And when this man came back to his seat, the Lord said to him, ask him about that person. And he said, okay, Lord. And so he said, does the name such, does that name make any sense to you? And the guy about had a heart attack. He was like, how do you know that? And right there, he just began to confess that he was involved in an adulterous relationship with this person that this man brought up. And it gave that man an opportunity to share with him that God can forgive him and God can restore if he will forsake and repent of that relationship. I believe God can do those kind of things. But don't come up with this open-handed thing that, oh, you have a sin in your life. Well, you know, I can say that about anybody. You can say that about me. I can say that about you. That's spiritual manipulation. Now, if the Lord tells you something that there is no way you could know it on your own about me, then please come to me. Please come to me. But don't, you know, come with a humble attitude towards each other. Don't come like you're God, because you're not. I'm not. Never come with that condemning attitude. Only the Lord searches the heart. Only the Lord examines the mind. So I come with a question, right? Come with a question. Does this make any sense to you? Is this, you know, ring a bell? And if the person says, no, you know, not really. No. Then maybe you just had a bad pizza. You know? Maybe you got it wrong. Maybe you misunderstood. It's possible. It's possible. So come with a question. Number three, let us live righteously and judge rightly with kindness, tolerance, and patience towards others like God does with us. Let us live righteously. Number one, God's calling you and me to live righteously. Examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. We were talking about this, I think it was in the elders' meeting. You know, when you point your finger at one other person, how many you got pointing back at yourself? Three more. We ought to be focused on ourselves first. And then, if the Lord gives us opportunity, we come with kindness, tolerance, patience, like God does with us. That's how He is with us, right? His kindness leads us to repentance. It's not His judgment that has led us to repentance. This is God's words. His kindness leads us to repentance. His kindness, listen, God knows everything and has the right to judge us, but He comes towards us with kindness, with tolerance, with patience. Now, there is a day of judgment coming, and His tolerance and His patience and His kindness will be over. And so, therefore, we are to have kindness and tolerance and patience towards others' failures, but not towards sin. Does that make sense? I'm not gonna excuse sin. I'm not gonna say sin is okay. I'm not gonna say it's okay for somebody to sin. That's crossing the line. I can't say what God says no. If God says no about something, I can't say yes. I can't say it's okay. If God says this is sin, I have no authority to say otherwise. But I can act with patience and tolerance and kindness. Does that make sense? We're to have that kind of attitude with one another. And you see, when we live this way and then judge in the sense of distinguishing between right and wrong in ourselves and in our brothers, when we do that, we are proving true repentance and faith, because we are more concerned with the person than worrying about the offense. I mean, think about this for just a second. Let's say that that you and I have had a conflict. You and I have had an issue. And you know, sometimes we do, don't we? We have conflicts with one another. We have issues with one another. In church? You mean Christians have problems? Christians have issues with one another? Yeah. We're no different than anyone else. It's how we deal with those things, right? Now, as you grow in the Lord, you ought to become less easily offended, right? You ought to have skin like a rhino and a heart that is tender. You know, somebody says something about me. Yeah, it's probably true. Oh, he ain't much of a preacher. He preaches too long. Yeah, you're right. End of argument. Oh, I wish he would cut his sermons. Me too. Me too. You see, you and I have an issue, and if we come towards one another with patience and tolerance, forgiveness, knowing ourselves, you know, by the time we get to one another, man, forgiveness has already happened, hasn't it? I mean, we come to each other like, man, I really blew it. I got upset. You know, I even said some things. I'm so sorry. Man, me too, man. You know? And forgiveness is already there with one another. But man, if you hold on to that, it just starts percolating, doesn't it? It starts growing and growing. But when you come towards one another with patience, knowing yourself, then beautiful restoration takes place. And so when we live like this, when we judge like this with each other, we escape God's wrath. See, because we're not acting opposite of God. See, Jesus said this, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus said this, if you cannot forgive your brother from your heart, then your sins will not be forgiven. That sounds like works, Pastor. Jesus said these words, Matthew chapter 7. If you will not forgive your brother from your heart, then your sins will not be forgiven. Wow. Why? It's not that God is withholding forgiveness, it's that in your heart is hard and you can't receive forgiveness. You're focused on the other person rather than being focused on yourself and where you have sinned. And so if you're not focused on yourself, guess what? You're not even going to ask for forgiveness. You think you're fine. I think it's Proverbs 17:18. It says, a person who is offended is as unyielding as a wall. You get offended with somebody. You get offended with God. You get offended with your brother or your sister. Get offended with an unbeliever. And your heart, man, you have a wall. And it's like, God can't even take a sledgehammer by the Holy Spirit and break down that wall. It's so hard. It's so big. It's so overbearing in your life. And you know what? If you get offended and you stay in that offense, then the enemy is going to have a heyday with you. He is going to work you over. And all the time, listen, all the time you will be thinking, I'm right. I'm good. I'm the one. I'm fine. It's the other person that's got the problem. Unyielding as a wall. And then, to close, we say, those of us who live like God, because He's given us of His Spirit, by faith we've received Christ and His Spirit, we escape God's wrath and we receive the reward of eternal life, glory, honor, and peace now. Well, I thought it was just all about faith, and it is. But you see, your attitude and your works and your actions prove what your faith is like. And if you say, oh yes, I have faith in Christ, and yet you are having a continual judgmental attitude, a continual criticism towards people, you need to examine your faith. You need to examine your heart. Because something's wrong. God's challenging you. Examine your heart. Check yourself. Let's close with James chapter 2. Verses 2 through 3, Mark Saltonfuss will read that for us.
Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Wow. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You want mercy? If you want mercy, say amen.
Amen.
I want mercy. And Jesus said, if you want mercy, you need to be merciful. If you want judgment, then be judgmental. You want condemnation, be condemning towards others. We reap what we sow. And God says, we need to sow righteousness so that we have a harvest of righteousness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word, Lord. Thank you that it is simple and straightforward. We don't have to wonder. And you give us wisdom. You give us counsel when it comes to our attitudes and our actions and our hearts, Lord. I pray for every one of us here that we will truly take to heart your words. We will judge ourselves. And Lord, we will really look at ourselves. And Lord, if we see there's an issue, there's a problem in us that needs to be dealt with. We're critical. We're judgmental towards others. Lord, we're asking you to deal with us right now. Lord, release us from that spirit. Break that in us, Lord. We don't want to be like that. We want to be like you. That's our heart. That's our prayer, Lord. Make us like you. But Lord, it takes repentance. It takes seeking you and admitting and asking for help. I bless these people with this, Lord. I bless your people today. May they find the grace and the mercy to walk in this, because we can't do this in our own strength. So thank you, Lord, that you do this for us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer for any reason, or if you want to be prayed for and anointed with oil for physical healing, we invite you to come on up. The elders will be here to pray with you. God bless you all. Have a great day.